Welcome to another edition of El Paso Primetime. I'm Dennis Wu, joined this afternoon by Nomi Rojas. How are you?
Hi, Dennis. I'm Nomi. I'm the editor of Synapse, the region's life sciences news digest. Today, I have asked Lupe Rodriguez to come and do an interview about the Las Palmas Neurosciences Institute. And I've seen this building, and probably a lot of people have seen it when you're driving towards the Las Palmas Hospital, right along Oregon Street. It says, a pretty big sign, Neurosciences Institute. And I know Dennis was asking me, what is that?
Oh, hi. Thank you for having me here today. It's great to be here with the both of you. Well, the Neurosciences Institute at Las Palmas Medical Center is a comprehensive services that we provide at our hospital to treat patients with a variety of neurological problems. We treat patients with stroke. We treat patients with cancer, tumors in particular, those requiring neurosurgery. And everything else that's related to neurology and neurosciences, such as Alzheimer's disease and dementia, and actually in spine problems as well. A lot of people in our community have back surgeries because of a bad spine, and so the neurosciences encompass that service as well.
And when did the Institute launch?
Oh, it's been a wonderful project in the making. We became a stroke-certified hospital sometime in about 2007, and in 2008, my CEO, Hank Hernandez, worked really hard to acquire capital funds to bring to Las Palmas Medical Center, and he brought approximately $17 million to El Paso to this infrastructure in 2010. So in June of 2010, we're embarking on our fourth anniversary here very soon, we opened the city's first dedicated 10-bed neurointensive care unit, joined with two dedicated neurosurgery operating suites. So as you can imagine, the neurosurgeons in our community, and particularly one that our company, HCA and Las Palmas, had hired into a physician services, Dr. Helson Pacheco, was very happy to have this dedicated neurooperating suite. So it eliminated all competition for the other 10 operating rooms at Las Palmas that are very busy every day with orthopedic surgery and general surgery and gynecological surgery. So we built it away from the main hospital. Like you said, Naomi, it's on the intersection of Mesa and Rim, and you can see that if you know where you're looking at, you look on the second story, you can actually see the windows into the operating room. So unless you have got good binoculars from Rim Road, you can't see anything that's going on there, but our operating suites actually have windows, and that's a nice change to our surgeons that can look outside and see if it's day or night.
Yeah, that is cool.
Yeah, it is cool, and it offers a really good ambient lighting in that suite as well. So that was what we did 4 years ago. We have a dedicated area for neurosurgeries and spine surgeries. Dr. Pacheco does a lot of spine surgeries. In fact, he's done probably over 1,000 surgeries, both brain surgery and spine surgery, since we hired him back right a little bit before this time in 2010. So patients get the benefit of going directly from surgery into an intensive care unit setting. There's no recovery room. The nurses that are trained to take care of critically ill neuro patients receive those patients coming right out of the operating room, which is a great advantage to healing and taking care of those patients.
And you are the administrative director for the Institute.
I am. I'm really honored and happy to have that title. I also run cardiovascular services. They're very much related to one another. One's the heart, one's the brain, but vascular is the common thread there, meaning all the problems that you may have in your arteries. Like I'm sure you all have heard that if you have a clot in your artery in your heart, it causes a heart attack, and it's a very serious heart attack. Well, similarly, serious things happen to people when they have clots in the brain and they have a brain attack, and those are called strokes. And that one in particular is called an ischemic stroke, where the rest of the part of the brain that's related to the artery doesn't get any more blood flow. And like the heart, if you don't get the blood flow, it dies. That part of the heart, that part of the brain dies. And so that's the wonderful thing about running these two service lines, is that even though there's two different types of physicians and trained physicians, the technology and the infrastructure that we're building at Las Palmas serves both those needs. And it's a great, wonderful opportunity to be part of that.
So one of the big developments that you've had for the Institute is that you've recruited a very specialized neurosurgeon, and he's the only one who does what he does in El Paso.
Yes, yes. We were very fortunate in recruiting Dr. Bratislav Velimirovic to El Paso, to this community, late last year. He is an endovascular-trained neurosurgeon. So in addition to being a neurosurgeon, you know, you have physicians of this kind have to do a residency in neurosurgery, and I believe it's 3 years of neurosurgery residency. He went back and did another residency on top of that in endovascular surgery. And so endovascular surgery means accessing that part of the brain or the spine where he specializes by using microcatheters. So instead of cutting the brain open, he can actually access parts of the brain through catheters. And what particularly they begin the catheterization process sometimes, you know, at the groin, at your groin. And that catheter is really long, about 20 feet long, and it travels up all the way up through this part of the anatomy and into the brain. And our equipment that we use is very advanced. And what it does is while the patient's on the table having these catheters run into their heart or their brain, the imaging equipment shows the doctor where he's at. So it's very specific. It's very targeted. And that's what he does. So he has the option, which, again, like you mentioned, he's the only one here in our community that can either do a procedure open like a neurosurgeon does, or endovascularly, which is a great advantage to a lot of patients who may not be able to undergo big surgical procedures like that.
So before you recruited this doctor, you would have had to have two different doctors to be able to do what now one doctor can do.
Yes. And you know, there are many other physicians that possess the same skill set to do endovascular surgery. However, if you get into trouble and there's a bleed that, you know, occurs or that cannot be fixed, then that physician, say it's a neurologist or a radiologist, would have to call a neurosurgeon in to come in and assist or finish the surgery. So that's the advantage that Dr. Velimirovic has, is that he can operate one way and then flip the other way if necessary.
In case you are joining us, we're talking today with Lupe Rodriguez. She is the administrative director for the Neurosciences Institute of Las Palmas. How were you able to recruit Dr. V? I'm going to say Dr. V because
yeah,
how do you
he's
say
already it? Getting used to being called Dr. V.
How do you say
Velimirovic?
How did you recruit him here? Where did you recruit him from?
Well, he comes from Chicago. He's originally from Serbia, and he did his medical school training in Serbia. And then he decided he was going to come to America to seek further training. So he did his residencies in the Chicago area. Well, he did his first residency in Chicago, and then he did a second one at Wayne State Institute in Detroit. So Detroit is known for training these types of physicians. There are multi-specialists like neurosurgeons and other physicians there who get their training in endovascular surgery. So he has made Chicago his home until, you know, we lured him to the beautiful Southwest.
And as I understand, it was like a one-year process of recruiting him, right?
Yeah, yes, it was. Yes, it was. He is a very, as you can imagine, he's very intelligent, very smart. And when he came to interview the first time, it was like he interviewed us. He wanted to know what we had, where we're going, what's our vision, what's our future, and were we serious about these types of programs that he's involved in, because it takes a lot of commitment from hospital corporations like ours, a lot of money, a lot of investing into the infrastructure, building, like we were talking about, $17 million 4 years ago, and we're about to drop another $3 million into that same building to add a third operating room and a fourth operating room that's going to have our biplane imaging technology, which is key to what Dr. Velimirovich can do. So, he interviewed us, and I think he, you know, thought about it for a couple of months, and then we met again. And then I introduced him to all of the other medical staff that supports the neurosciences program at Las Palmas, from the neurologists, the radiologists, our medical directors, our emergency room physicians, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, that does take time. It takes time to meet and to ask questions. He was particularly interested in how many strokes this community has and how many AVMs and other neurological conditions that patients have in our community.
What is the rate? Do you know?
I hope I'm not misquoting myself, but if I'm not mistaken, during the time that we were interviewing him, which would have been 2013, we'd had about 1,800 strokes in this community. And so that is a lot of our patient population here. And a lot of those patients will require his skill set to survive and to not have ongoing paralysis and those types of disabilities that occur when people have strokes like that.
When are you going to install that new biplane?
Oh, I'm so glad you asked me. I'm so excited about it. I should have worn my hard hat because we're constructing right now. And it does take several months to put these two rooms together. Like I said, one's going to have a biplane and the other one's going to be a regular operating suite. It will take us about another 4 months to finish construction. And in that 4 month period, it takes about 2 or 3 weeks to build the biplane as well. So we're thinking safely by mid-September, early October, we'll be cranking away with a new machine.
And it's not a new building. You're just it's two new rooms in an existing building.
That's right. Okay. When we built our neurosciences center, we had about 2,500 square feet left over, and we didn't have enough money to finish it then, so we shelled it. You say you just shell it, you just put walls up and you put a door there, and we knew that we would grow in the future. I think we're just surprised that it happened so quickly. So we got, you know, we made the business case to our parent corporation to continue building on, and the business case speaks for itself. We do a lot of neurosurgery at Las Palmas. We do a lot of spine surgery at Las Palmas. We have the 10-bed dedicated neuro intensive care unit is full. It's full almost every single day. So it does make the case for building more. So now our neurosurgeons, Drs. Pacheco, Dr. Velimirovich, and the other neurosurgeons in our community can operate there, you know, more with ease.
So this is what you would call a hybrid operating room?
Well, you know, yes, technically, yes. That's very good that you say that, because it's built in an operating room suite, and the biplane technology can be used during surgery. So you can use it within surgery or even without during surgery. If you don't cut anything open and you just use the endovascular approach, you can do that, and that's fine. But I know that we have had other surgeons tell us that while that imaging technology from the biplane is in the operating suite, it offers a wonderful advantage for a neurosurgeon to take pictures of your brain or your spine and to have them in real time. And then the software that's, you know, so new and so innovative puts things into a three-dimensional model. So if you want to just look at arteries, you can, you know, extract that out and look at just a three-dimensional artery. If you want to look at bone, muscle, whatever the surgeon wants to look at, he's got that imaging capability on the spot. And the patient doesn't have to leave the operating room to go to a CAT scan or to an MRI, because you have the imaging capability there in the operating room. So yes, it is a hybrid room.
I know that Sierra Providence has a cardiac hybrid operating room, and so yours is a neuro hybrid.
Correct, yes. Our goal is to continue building on neuroscience and things of the brain. And so that is correct. They've chosen to do a cardiac hybrid room, and they'll be able to offer the community procedures that require that kind of imaging, and we're going to do procedures that in the brain, and mainly they're going to be stroke and aneurysms. And I don't know if you guys have ever heard about aneurysms, but while using this imaging technology in the hybrid room, the neurosurgeon can go in there, you know, with a little catheter, again, not opening the head, not clipping the aneurysm the way traditionally people have done it. You insert a catheter into the artery, you find the aneurysm, and then you deploy like this little coil, and it's just like this little loop that you just fill this little pocket of the artery that needs to be shut, or else the blood will continue to flow in an irregular pattern. So that is our approach. That's our vision, our mission, and we're just so excited that we're going to be able to offer our community more comprehensive neurosurgical services in our suite.
And so if my dad needed to see a neuro doctor, mm-hmm. would he have to be referred? Is it referral only?
You know, typically the way medical care occurs, if it's not an emergent situation, you will get a referral. And Dr. Velimirovic would be referred to, or Dr. Pacheco. They're known in the community. The neurologist, for example, if your dad ended up at a neurologist's office, he would say, you know, you need to see a neurosurgeon, and I'm going to send you to Dr. V. Then that's how traditionally it works. But in many cases, and, you know, our community here, our culture is to wait and not seek care until you're in trouble, you know, and that's another known statistic of our city, is that I think the majority of our stroke patients arrive by private vehicle. You know, I'm going to wait until my daughter gets home from work and she's going to take me to the ER instead of accessing 911 to get you there really
quickly. I think
that's
mostly a male point of view.
No, my mom had me take her to the hospital. To a hospital because she didn't want to go in an EMT.
Oh, no, okay. It's too embarrassing.
Yeah, well, yeah. Plus it's expensive to have
you're
an
right,
ambulance.
You're right. But if you seek care emergently, hospitals like Las Palmas have these physicians ready to come and see a patient when it's emergent. So, you know, say that's the scenario, the ER doctor assesses a patient, we'll do a CAT scan of the patient's head in less than 10 minutes because we know it's that important. Again, time is tissue, time is survival. And so within those 10 minutes, we are activating a neurology consult and a neurosurgical consult for the patient's best possible care and outcome.
You talk about, you know, building. It looks like Las Palmas is landlocked. Is that right? I mean, can you build out, or do you have to build up?
Well, we would love to build up. Yes, we can. Yeah, you're right. We're landlocked, but we're pretty fortunate. We've got the four corners of Rim Road, if you will. So we've got a building, our emergency room building on Mesa and Rim. The main hospital is on Oregon and Hague Street in El Paso. And then we have, you know, to the south of those two buildings, two other pieces of property. One of them holds our medical office building. And so many of our physicians have office practices in there. So for those physicians, imagine how convenient it is just to walk across the sky bridge. I don't know if you've noticed, we have sky mm-hmm. bridges and come all the way across the hospital. And on the first floor of that medical office building, we have our outpatient diagnostic center. So you can come get your MRI, X-ray, lab, EKG. And then we also house our preoperative surgery department there, which is really another great service that Las Palmas offers, because before you have surgery, before the day of surgery, you come to us and we assess you, we register you, we educate you, we get you all ready to go for the big day. And then just west of that building is an empty lot. And I think you've parked your car there before. It's like just a flat blacktop with parking on it. That area belongs to us, and so we could build there. But in all honesty, we have hopes to one day expand and build up upon our emergency room and our neurosciences building. It's two floors now, but it was constructed to withhold the weight of seven floors to match the 7 floors at Las Palmas Main Hospital. So if we were to do that in the future, we talk about it a lot in senior management about what opportunities there are there. Obviously more critical care beds for cardiac and neuro patients. That's a no-brainer. But also our expanding needs at our hospital for neonatal intensive care beds. We have a lot of NICU babies in our institution, and sometimes we have more than we can handle, and we have to keep on growing to accommodate that patient influx. And then the other thing is for us, it's an older hospital, and it was built when rooms were shared. You know, you had a roommate.
That seems like so long ago.
Yeah. Well, the building is quite old. And so we don't do that anymore. You know, we use this very large room for one patient and their family or a buddy who wants to spend the night with them. But, you know, that is forcing some capacity issues for us. And so we're really hoping that we can build up on that building so we can create more medical surgical beds just to make everything balance itself out with the amount of beds needed in private rooms.
Is it more of an emotional stability sort of a thing to eliminate the roommate in order to better help each patient acclimate to the hospital?
You know, I guess I never really thought of it that way, but I'm sure that plays a part in it as well. I know if I was in the hospital, I probably would not want a roommate. You know, when you're sick, you know, you want to be private. And the other thing about our wonderful community is that patients are really family oriented. And I don't know if you've ever visited somebody in the hospital. There's usually, you know, more than 2 or 3 people visiting at a time. And Las Palmas is very open to that. You know, we try to be very good about not restricting the amount of visitors that you can have. And so, yeah, we appreciate that you would need more space. And sometimes if you know, the days where you had a roommate, you know, maybe one patient didn't have any visitors and the roommate maybe had 5 people in there, and then they're just talking and you can't watch your TV. And so I think that is directly a satisfaction issue with patients. They want to be satisfied that they're getting all your attention, that they have a quiet environment, a clean environment. And so 2 beds, 2 tables, 2 IV poles, or, you know, it's just a lot of clutter in one room. So we felt like we're gonna remove one of the beds, you know, from this patient environment so that they could feel like it's more open, it's cleaner, and it's more accommodating to their emotional needs.
Yeah, and the emotional need is always an important thing, especially let's bring it back to what we were talking about originally, which is the stroke victim, the victim with the aneurysm. When you're hit with something catastrophic like that, the first thing you want is comfort. And if you've got family and friends around you,
correct,
you're good. That's part of the
Part of the healing process, you're right, and there's literature out there that talks about this, that, you know, when you can be with the people that care for you and you love and you're comfortable with those people, you're going to heal faster. You're going to have a better experience in the hospital as well because you won't feel isolated and alone. So we agree with that.
One of the things also to note to a lot of our listeners, especially those in the upper demographic who don't drive but have friends or family at Las Palmas, is you're on a direct bus line.
That's correct. Yeah. A couple of years ago, the city had, you know, a great idea to retool the transit system here. And you're right. There's a substation up on Glory Road and Oregon. So patients and visitors can access us right on Oregon Street. And it's really nice. There's a bus stop directly in front of Las Palmas. And so, you know, I've actually used it to go downtown to see the Chihuahuas because it's really convenient, to have that transit. And so, you know, we encourage people. We tell them that, you know, well, it's hard to find parking or whatever. No, just, you know, Take the city transit. It does make sense.
It makes a lot of sense, especially now with the new Brio coming in. When it's activated in July, one of the bus drivers and I were talking about it yesterday, mm-hmm. about the Brio and how packed he thinks it's going to be with visitors coming to Las Palmas, taking the Brio from the west side, because it's easier to park at the west side, get on the Brio, get there in 20 minutes.
That's right.
In and out, nobody gets hurt.
That's right. And if any of the listeners drive down North Mesa any day of the week, you'd agree with that. It's become very congested, partially due to construction, but, you know, that's a great great way to promote the park and drive concept, you know, here in our city.
You mean just, park and ride?
Park and ride. I'm sorry, I did say park and drive. Yeah. Park and ride. Yes, you know, other communities do it. I mean, I've visited several cities where you do that. You find a parking garage and you can just get on transit and it's easy to get to where you're going. So it's really encouraging that we would be able to do this in our city, at least in parts of our city.
I hadn't heard of a Brio before. Is that a bus? Is that the Sun Metro?
It's a two-part bus that has like an accordion in the middle. I forget what they call it, but it will go from downtown to the West Side Terminal in a half hour. Mm-hmm. And likewise, from the West Side Terminal to downtown in a half hour. So legitimately, you could park your car on the West Side, mm-hmm. get on the Brio. Once every 20 minutes, it goes and you're there. It's a real interesting ride.
Oh, okay. Well, that would be good for, because a lot of stroke victims are older people. Is that right? Is that the demographic?
Yeah, usually. But you would be surprised to see or to know that the younger population is suffering from strokes as well.
Is that right?
As well as heart attacks. Yeah, it's amazing. You know, just anecdotally, on any day, if I find out there's a, you know, 50-year-old and, you know, with a heart attack, or a 40-year-old with a stroke, it's surprising. Yeah.
It's our lifestyle.
Yeah,
you know, it's
right.
An ever-changing lifestyle, and so the demographics are always going to be changing towards the younger. And it'll stop eventually, mm-hmm. but the latter part of the baby boomers, I'm part of that. It's just the way that we're wired.
And it's lifestyle choices, really. There's a lot of, you know, on top of hereditary factors, because you can't get rid of your heredity factors, your risk factors. You know, smoking, eating, inactive lifestyle still, you know, tends to be the things that we can control to reduce the risk of heart attacks and strokes. So, you know, that's the other thing that we do at Las Palmas. We try very hard to educate the community. We even have seminars that we target to the community. And we have a life care center. It's located off our campus at 3333 North Mesa. And that life care center houses a couple of really nice jewels for us. We have a gym that really nobody knows about, mm-hmm. except us who work there and our patients. But it's a wonderful full-service gym, and we offer spinning and kickboxing and all yoga, all kinds of wonderful things there. But in addition to that, we have clinics that rotate in and out of that place, and we have a registered dietitian, we have weight loss opportunity, you know, just all kinds of opportunities. And we also have a classroom there. And so 2 to 3 times a month, you'll see that Las Palmas is holding a seminar on back pain.
You have something really special, something specialized that most people, when they see the name, think, oh, that's Lumosity. No, it's not Lumosity.
You mean Las Palmas?
Uh-huh.
That's hilarious. We love, I mean, people who work at Las Palmas are very passionate about Las Palmas. And, you know, I'm really fortunate to work with the people that I work with. We're like a family. It's really close-knit. And we do a lot of great innovation at Las Palmas. And I think that's why I love Las Palmas is, you know, again, we've been able to bring in new technology, build infrastructure.
Doctors.
Great physicians.
Is Dr. V, did he come with a wife and kids?
No. As a matter of fact, he's single, never been married.
So. Ladies, if you're listening.
I'm sure he appreciates the plug.
Lupe, thank you so much for coming
in. It was a pleasure.
Tell Dr. V we said welcome and hello, and we wish he would have, you know, come in with you to the interview.
And you know what? He would have come with me, but you're not going to believe it. He was doing brain surgery today. Okay. At this time, he had a case at 2 o'clock, so we couldn't be together today. But
I think he told me he'll actually answer his phone while he's in surgery.
No, I don't think I ever said that.
Okay.
Somebody else will answer.
Dennis?
It's all good. But thank you so much for coming in, because of Sucasa. So anytime Neurosciences Institute has something, Las Palmas has something, please come.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
And thank you for listening to another edition of El Paso Primetime.